The scripture appointed for this day is recorded in Hebrews 4, beginning at the 14th verse. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the text. Now, we're told, based on Holy Scripture, that a high priest is a man that's set apart by God and the people. And among the duties, the most important duty of the high priest is to conduct the service on the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month of every year. Only he is allowed to enter the most holy place, behind the veil, to stand before God. Having made a sacrifice for himself and for the people, he then brings the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkles it on the mercy seat, God's throne. The high priest does this to make an atonement, not only for himself, but for the people, for all the sins that they've committed during the past year. It is this particular service that is compared to the ministry of Jesus as our high priest in Hebrews 4. In understanding the role of the high priest, we can better comprehend the significance of Christ offering himself for our sins once for all. Through Christ's sacrifice for us, we are sanctified. We're set apart by him. By entering God's presence on our behalf, Christ has secured for us an eternal redemption. As Paul has written, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." But how does this all play out in our life? Well, first, as a child of God, this passage reminds us of the temptation Jesus went through in the wilderness, that great Lenten gospel recorded in Matthew 4. We read about his perseverance over Satan, despite no food, no water, loneliness, and exposure to the elements of the desert. So how does this play out in our lives? Well, on some level, when you read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, you should feel rather uncomfortable. I mean, here, Jesus, the personification of perfection, offers a sacrifice to God on the throne of the living God for the forgiveness of sins, an atonement, if you will. And we know what the cost of this sacrifice is and the high price that is paid, because blood is involved and death. And we know that in sacrifice, forgiveness and new life takes place. Now, this is, again, as I said, a very uncomfortable image. The high priest himself offers himself as the sacrificed. Again, not just any priest, but the high priest, the Day of Atonement priest. And he dies, and he willingly gives up his life as a sacrifice for all of humanity. This atonement of Jesus, our great high priest, brings more than a closeout to an annual ritual, more than a forgiving of sins until next year, only to have it happen all over again. No, this is a once and for all sacrifice. This pouring out of blood wipes us clean from sin. I often get a sense that we do not fully understand the causality and consequence of sin. I mean, think about this. I mean, we talk about the violation of the commandments, neglecting God's word, adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, coveting, all of which lead to death. But we often fail to talk about the depth of sin as a part of who we are. Actual sin, violation of the commandments, versus original sin. King David spoke of it in Psalm 51 when he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." It is for this reason that the Apostle Paul places such an emphasis on the old Adam. "For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous," Romans chapter 5. The early church fathers understood original sin and its devastating consequences. St. Justin the Martyr wrote, "Jesus saved the human race, which from Adam had fallen under the power of death and the guile of the serpent." Luther, when reflecting on Romans 4, coined the phrase simul justus et peccator, or sinner-saint, simultaneously. You see, we cannot will ourselves out of sin. You cannot purge, you cannot discipline, you cannot philosophize, you can expend great energy and capital, and you are still denied access to God because of original sin. Only one way to remove sin so deeply ingrained: the sacrifice of the great high priest, Jesus. In Article 4 on Justification in the Apology, Melanchthon uses Hebrews 4 as a passage to teach that Christ is now our only mediator, and we have access to God through him, anytime, anywhere, any place. So here's what happens when Christ died on the cross, when the high priest sacrificed himself. We're not only given access to God, but we boldly and confidently come to him through Jesus, our high priest. The throne becomes now a place of grace, no longer a place of frightening judgment, a place of brutal recounting of sins, no longer a place where our shortcomings are laid bare. The final judgment is not a time of embarrassment, shortcomings, nor profound anxiety. Because of Jesus, who now shares the Father's throne, it is a place of grace and profound comfort. And there is more going on. This isn't just an individual forgiveness. Hebrews 4 again says, "Since we have a great high priest." This is corporate, bodily, and relates to the whole Christian community. As a forgiven people in the body of Christ, we extend this to the whole body of Christ, to one another. We are all gathered around the throne with full and open access. In addition, we rally around the throne and we see Jesus. He shared our lowly place, the one who was tempted but not give in. He knew weakness, he knew pain, he knew exposure and hunger, but he did not give in or surrender. The one who died and conquered death, Christ Jesus, our Lord. The same Jesus who gives us open access and eternal joy. The same Jesus is our great high priest who loves you and gives all of us hope and peace. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.